Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming to the Wednesday Night Shiur. This evening, we will speak about Parshas Metsora, and then we're going to speak about Pesach, and we're going to relate the Parsha to a tension at the Seder about trying to relate to the Russia, and then we'll try to figure out what to learn from the other children in the room. So Shiur, again, related to Metsora, a little bit about Chinuch, how to relate to maybe unmotivated types of kids. Certainly a topic that is close to my heart as a high school Rebbe.
Motivated type.
And we'll learn about just children in general. So much to learn from children. Make sure I tell the Peter Pan story at the end of this year. All right, AB, that's your job. Here it is. So the Torah says in this week's Parsha, V'yidaber Hashem l'Moshe l'Emor, Zos tziyat Torah semetzorah b'yom ta'arasa v'huva el ha'komi. Now, that's the phrase we're going to focus on mostly. But when someone has saras and they have been pronounced as a Metzora, and they have to go into exile, into quarantine. So eventually the Tzaraas goes away, right? Ideally the person does tshuva in his anava and his humility, and he does tshuva, and it goes away. Now what happens next? He has to become pure. So last week's Parsha was all about Tzaraas. This week's Parsha is all about becoming pure. And in fact, if you look at the Parsha, it really is all about purity. The Rambam, 613 mitzvos, Asei Kuv Yud, is that one of the 613 mitzvahs is the purification process of Tzaraas. You know, you bring the Eitz Erez, and the Ezov, the Shnei Tolas, the two birds. It's a whole thing. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs is the official procedure of becoming pure after one has Tzaraas, and that's this week's Parsha. And if you look at Pasuk Ches, in this week's Parsha, Perek Yudalid, the Torah also describes going into a mikveh. And the Rambam counts this as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Whenever you're Tamei, there's a mitzvah to become tahor. It's a beautiful idea. So how does one become tahor? So there's a procedure. But what I'm going to focus on this evening, and this will kind of bridge the gap between Pesach and the Parsha, is that we're going to speak about the fact that not everybody is motivated to become tahor. The Torah uses this phrase, v'huva el ha'kohen. Now, does anyone know how to translate that phrase, v'huva el ha'kohen? It doesn't mean that he goes to the kohen, but rather what?
He's brought to the kohen.
Very good. And if he's brought to the Kohen, what does that imply? That he might not actually want to go himself. He's brought, what does that imply? That he's brought even against his will. Exactly. So Abi's Mechavim to the Torah's Kohanim. The Midrash says, so he shouldn't wait. If the simon Tzaraas is faded, if his skin it looks clear. So it says, the day he's become clear, Yuva al Korcho. The Ramban quotes the Midrash, he should go against his will. And it applies in other areas of Tumah V'Tahara. And the Ramban says he has to become pure. And now, isn't that a little ironic that the Torah tells you that you have to become pure? Imagine me saying to you, you have to eat chocolate, or you have to make money. I mean, you want a bonus. You have to take the bonus. You have to take the gift. Right? Don't you want these things? Why might the Torah specify that you're obligated to become pure? So the Netziv explains, listen, if you have Tumah, you're going to want to avoid the issue. So the Torah needs to combat you and say, even though you want to avoid the problem, nonetheless, you need to go to the Kohen against your will, because if you have Tzaraas, he's got to declare you a Metzora or whatever. So therefore, by Tumah, it says, V'huva, you have to be brought to the Kohen when it comes to the Tumah. But by Tahara, says the Netziv, what? What would we have thought? It's optional. If you want to become pure, okay, great. And if you don't want to become pure, also great, because it's up to you. Therefore, what does the Torah need to say? You have to become pure. You're obligated to become pure. Isn't that a little bit ironic? What if you're not ready to become pure? And I use this now as the springboard to Seder night. I'm obligated to teach my son the Pesach story. And what's the question? Rabbi, my kid doesn't want to hear about the Pesach story. Let's talk a little bit real, so to speak, this evening, right? Meaning, I hope that at the Pesach Seder, we all have sons and grandsons, etc., daughters and granddaughters, a whole house filled with people who are in the category of chacham, or yummy, delicious children, grandchildren, etc. But let's be real for a second, right? What if I don't want to become pure? What if I don't care to hear much? Whoa. So we're going to learn this evening is the story of the Rasha. We'll learn a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. And then we'll get back to normalcy. But we'll have to learn a little of this in the Rav. We'll try to figure that out a little bit. But the starting point is that we don't like when people are tameh. The 613 mitzvahs includes the tahara process. The whole parsha is about becoming pure. And do you know who makes a mitzorah tahor? The very same Kohen who declared that he was tameh. Says the Rambam, Tzarash, Yer Aleph, Vav. Taharas mitzorah is knowing in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, whether there's a Beis HaMikdash or not. The Kohen Shetimo mitzvah la'tahara. The same Kohen who made him tameh, there's the same Kohen who's going to make him tahor. That's what the Torah says. L'taharo o l'tamo. Now, isn't that a beautiful thing to have the same Kohen make him pure? Because what would you have thought? If I'm a mitzora and some Kohen made me tameh, what do I think about that Kohen? You hate me. You declared me tameh. You don't want me to succeed. And what is the halacha's response? No. I would much rather you be tahor than tameh, but you were tameh. And let me bring you back to tahara. Let me help you. And the Rasha is going to experience the same thing at the Seder. We'll learn a line from the Rav, and we'll learn a little bit of Rambam Rashi out. We're never really trying to ostracize the Rasha in a way that will make him want to leave the Seder. But ironically, we're going to try to convince him that the tumah was out of love. We were really hoping to, quote-unquote, declare him tameh so that he would eventually become tahor again. And again, you see where there's a real, you know, high school Rebbe connection here. You know, it's like the story of high school chinuch. But on a deeper level, you know, not every kid, but it's very related to high school chinuch. So let's learn. There's a Mishnah. We know the Mishnah. Mishnah, Psachim, Kuf, Tet, Zayin, Amen, Aleph. Mazgulo kosheni. So they pour you the second cup of wine, dilute it literally. Vikana bain shoel aviv, kid asks his father. V'im ein das babain, aviv milamdo. So if the kid does not have the wherewithal to ask a question, the father teaches the kid himself. And the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Ufli daito shel habain aviv milamdo, psachim kuf te zainam an aleph. Or maschil begunus, you start with the bad part of the story. Umbesayim b'shavach, right? So you basically just tell the kid the story. That's what you do. Meaning, based on his ability to listen, you start from Aram Yavoid until you finish the whole parsha. Okay, so how's this brought down the halacha? Here's the Rambam. Now I'm going to ask you an amazing question. What is not in the Rambam? Listen very closely. Mitzvah lehodia lebanim. It's a mitzvah to tell your kids the story. Even if they never asked you the story. Because the Torah really says ideally the kid should ask. Right? Meaning if the kid asks you. Right? But what if the kid doesn't ask? So the Rambam says, like the Mishnah in the Gemara, you tell the kid, tell the kid whether or not he asked. Based on the kid's capabilities, you teach him. Here, listen very closely. Let's try to count to four. How many of the Arba Banim are in the Rambam? Kate said, Im hayakatan otipish. So are those, how many of those? If he's small or foolish, which two, one of the, how many of the kids do the Rambam just count?
Well, the Rishami doesn't have the Tom, it has the Tipesh.
Yeah, so he's like the Rishami and the Tipesh. So which kid is that? Instead of the Tom.
Instead of the Tom, it's the Tipesh.
And who was the Katan? Shein
Adi Elishol, I would assume.
So Tom, Ein Adi Elishol. So good. So we have those two. The Tipesh and the Katan are the Tom and the Shein Adi Elishol. So you tell... Listen, kid, my son, Kulan Hayu Avadim, we were slaves, we were in Mitzrayim, and this night Hashem took us out. Beautiful. V'im haya haben gadol v'chacham. Which good is that? Right? Modiu mashi'ira lenu b'mitzrayim. You tell him the story, but not like the same way you tell the katan or the tipesh. You would go into greater detail. You tell him, the nisim shenasu lenu aydei Moshe Rabbeinu lefi daitol shemet. You really go into great detail. And by the way, in my shi'urim, I don't go over the Haggadah with my Talmidim. I go over Sefer Shmos. With my Talmidim. I give them Midrashim, Mefarshim ala Torah, so that they know the story, not just how to explain the Haggadah, but a little bit of the story itself. The Haggadah is wonderful, but what you really need in your back pocket are the Mefarshim and the Midrashim, the Maimarei Chazal, about the Esther Malkus and about Moshe and Miriam and Yocheved and all, you know, you have to know. You have to know what that's about. Again, remind me, Peter Pan, A.B., and Miriam, okay? Those are the two things. All right, you ready? All right. A.B., you got it? Homework, two assignments. But who is missing from the Rambam? Who is missing?
The Russia.
The Russia.
I think there's a medrash that also did not put the Russia.
Okay, so Adam's saying the Rambam wasn't the first one to omit the Russia. But we said what? All right. Ultimately, we have a Rambam that doesn't include the Russia, right? That's not good. So what's going to be? Says the Rav in this Rambam. Yeah, the Rambam left the Russia out. Anyone know why? If I were to ask you, why would the Rambam not include the Russia in the mitzvah of Magid? Meaning, tell the story to the kid. If he can't ask, you tell it to him. If the kid can ask, you go into greater detail. What about the Russia? What about him? So what do you do? What do you do to that kid? What happens? So you're meaning what? Peter's basically saying,
he's not there.
Is that there's nothing you can do? Ooh, right? Is that what I'm hearing, Peter? I mean, what's the point? What are you going to teach a kid who doesn't want to listen? You're going to teach a kid a Talmud Sheino Hagun, right? In Hilchos Talmud Torah, we have such a concept that not every Talmud is allowed into the Beis Medrash. Again, I'll pi halacha, you know, a practical. Very good. Very good. So you want to invite him to your Seder. At what expense? But you're gonna invite him, and he's going to ruin the Seder for the Chacham, and even the Sheino the Elishol or the Tom, they don't know better. And Robert's words are, he's going to sabotage. They said, a very nice point, Robert. Right. Yeah, but what if it's your kid, right? I mean, what if it's real? You don't want to excommunicate. You don't want to ostracize. You don't want to exclude. You want to maximize and include. And you want to see maximum participation, right? We like Yiddish Kinder. We don't like Chayim in America, at least. We're not into that stuff, right? Now, I'm giving you an American mechanics perspective.
Yeah. Actually, we have two assignments.
Oh, excellent. So Adam's saying, man, listen, rebellious, deviant high school kid in 2024 in Bergen County is not a Russia. That's exactly the point I want to make. So, number one, the Rav pointed out that the Rambam left out the Russia because in a Hanami, he's not included. And whose opinion is this black on white? The Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon in his Agada writes that we don't teach the Russia anything. We don't talk to him at all. OMG. And the Gura makes an amazing idea. He says, look at the psukim. One pasuk says, V'igadata l'bincha. One says, V'amarta. One says, V'amarta. But by the Russia, it never says nothing, no bincha, no elav. It just says, V'amartem zevav pesach. You give him the cold shoulder. You don't engage. What a diak of the Gura. He says, look at the psukim. The psukim themselves say you don't talk to him. There's no direct dialogue. As the psukim dictate. You just say, Zevach Pesach. Meaning, there's a mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. That's for God. And we'll eat it. But you don't address him. OMG. And what does that mean, you knock his teeth out? It's another way of saying, you don't talk to him. V'lo t'daber imo rak. You talk to the other kid. Because Pashtus is the good kids are also at the table, like Robert was alluding to. So you tell him. Tell him. And you're not even addressing the Russia when you talk about him. You're saying, see that one over there? Hashem wouldn't have saved him. Oh my gosh. Most European thing ever, right? We don't do this. NCSY, this is not what we do in NCSY summer, right? This is not our selling point. Like, we don't talk about this Agura at, like, the NCSY staff training Shabbaton. Like, we hit their teeth and we don't even look at them. Nope. But can you, what do you gain from this approach? What do you think the pshat behind this Agura is? What do you gain from this? What do you gain from this? What are you showing
When you're in Europe and Vilna.
Yeah.
So you're not part of the community, get out. Where are you going
to
go?
Very good. So Adam's pointing out that if you were ostracized from the community in Europe, ultimately what would it do?
You go to the Geisha community.
Or what? Yeah, meaning you realize I have one option. if I want to be included in this community, I got to step up. Or I'm all out. So the mashal I want to give is that is the only flavor of Europe we have left is when it comes to sports. You know, if a kid wants to make a team, right, what does he know? There's a tryout. And what does every kid know on the tryout? I might not make it. And is that viewed as cruel or mean? The kid understands. I need to step up to make the team. We don't do that by religion. We don't say, yeah, well, listen, if you step up, you're in. But when it comes to, like, making the hockey team, we're still very European for some reason. Like, there's a very clear, like, you made first cut, but you were not second cut. Or even though you made the team, like, you don't get playing time. We're very harif when it comes to sports. And kids appreciate it.
Because you have a goal. You want to
very good. Very good.
So if you have a goal that you want to establish
Bais Naaman.
From Bais Naaman.
Yeah.
Then you got to step up.
Yeah. So the gra, again, the ramifications of this gra on a chinuch level are exponentially important. Like they're groundbreaking. They're earth-shattering. Because we don't do this anymore. And this is what Europeans used to do. They would say, go big or go home. Meaning, go big or go home. You know, in America, we don't do this. In America, we run after the kids. We love the kids and we say, come back. And, you know, we feed them.
And it doesn't work half the time.
But, and AB's pointing out. So we're the standards. And you know why? Because I'll tell you a crazy story. One time I was in the Kiruv atmosphere, a Kiruv opportunity. I was the one doing the Kiruv, Baruch Hashem, if that wasn't clear. And I've been in this situation a couple of times where someone was in a relationship with a non-Jew and they wanted to have a relationship with me also. So it's like, do you invite them for a Shabbos meal? Do you ostracize? So I remember I was in touch with one of my very, very, you know, prominent Rabbanim, and I said, should I ostracize at this point? The guy is dating, living, you know, except non-Jewish woman. And he said, no, of course not. You don't ostracize. He says, it used to work in Europe when you ostracized. It doesn't do anything anymore. It doesn't help. He says, if anything, this is the time to hold him closer than ever. And you know what ended up happening? The guy I didn't ostracize, he broke up with her. He's married to a Frum Jew now. And ultimately, we don't paskin, so to speak, like this grew. But it's an amazing concept whereby there is a concept on the books, Shita Saram Am Shita Sagro, that we don't feel so sorry for the Russia. And that's a classical, that shouldn't be such a chiddush. I'm saying it like it's like this crazy chiddush. That's the Masor of our people, right? Like, a Russia is punished. It's like duh. But I'm saying because it's not what we do right now. That's why I'm saying it as if it's like the biggest novelty. But who disagrees with the Rambam? Rashi. The Rav presented a machlokas between the Rambam versus Rashi. When the Torah says, V'gadzin l'binch b'yom ha'hu le'mor b'avor z'as ha'shem li b'tesim Mitzrayim. So tell the kid that God saved me or did this for me. Rashi comments, Remez Chuvas Leben Russia. This is an allusion. The Torah is getting to the fact that you directly approach the Russia. Not like the Gura, where you're talking to someone else at the table because you're not directly addressing the Russia. No, you're telling the Russia straight to his face. As Hashem li velo lecha. Me, not you. Hashem would not have saved you. If you were in Egypt, you would not have been saved. So what emerges from Shita's Rashi la Torah is that you do give the Russia an answer. Now, why is that significant? So the Rav is really bothered because the Rav points out that the Baal HaGadah, and the Gra pointed this out, is that the Baal HaGadah is mixing and matching the Pesukim. The Pesukim are all over the place in the HaGadah. The way that the Arba Banim are orchestrated in the Torah is not the same way that they're orchestrated in the HaGadah. The Pesukim are mixed and matched.
And the Pesukim in the Gemara and the Bavli are different than the Pesukim that we have.
Very good. So the Rav says like this. Clearly, the Eino de Elishol and the Russia are looped together. There's no question about this. If you look at the way the Pesukim are presented in the Gada, he says, I don't understand why Rashi is talking about the answer we give to the Russia on the Pasuk by the She'eino de Elishol. Meaning, like, why in the world is Rashi doing that? Right? But he says, clearly the answer we give to the Eino de Elishol is a similar answer that we give to the Russia. What's the answer we give to the Eino de Elishol? We tell him, you don't know how to ask, so what are we going to do for you? We're going to bring you closer. We're going to try to help you. We're going to feed you the information. Now the Russia, we don't have the same tone. We're very firm with the Russia, but argues the Rav, that's why the She'eino de Elishol and the Russia are paired together because we're trying to tell the Russia that it's the same goal. In the same way we're trying to bring the She'enu De'elishol closer, we're also trying to bring you closer. We're hitting you in the teeth and we're being very harif with you. But that's our way of telling you we'd love for you to come back. We're not hitting you so that you run away. We're hitting you so that you get the message.
So isn't the Shanae, didn't the Rav say the Shane O'Dealishol? It's not that he doesn't know how to ask. He doesn't want to ask.
That's exactly right. The Rav says exactly what Adam just said. That he's not interested. He's not interested. Meaning, the Chacham is curious. The Shane O'Dealishol, he doesn't have the kalim to ask, so he doesn't care. It's irrelevant to him. Right? Not that he's rebellious. Yeah, it's very good. So the individual, he doesn't understand why it matters. He's just like, let's get this over with, type of thing. Not in a rebellious way, just like, why should I care? That's the Rav. But a line over here is that the tshuva to the Ben Rush is the gam shama tshuvi b'derech tochach u'musr. We're telling the Shein of the Elishol, we want to help you ask better questions. We want you to be more interested. And we're saying to the Rasha the same thing. But the Rasha is tochach ayidei shemakeh shinov b'yeter se'es u'v'yeser o's. We're not so gentle. So by the Shein O'Dealishol, we're more quote-unquote American. By the Russia, we're quote-unquote more European. And the Torah gives both answers in one parsha. Ki b'shneim atshuva hi b'derech tochach u'musa lekarv ez libam l'avodas Hashem. The goal is the same, by the Shein O'Dealishol and by the Russia. We'd love for them both to buy in to Torah and mitzvos, but the way we do it is different. Fascinating mahalach of the Rav. Right? Is that a geshmak or what? Unbelievable. So the Rav saw in Shitas Rashi, the mahalach of, you want to call it American style chinuch. We don't ostracize, we always bring closer. Let's start a kumzitz, etc. Now again, that's coming from the Rav, who is, you know, still as litvish as they come, and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, that was the beginning. That was the early roots of American chinuch, and my mom is in Boston. All right, so that's a beautiful vort from the Rav, Rambam, Rashi, etc. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Is it really machlokas? I mean, it depends on the kid. If you know the person can be...
very nice. So very good. Adam's saying is that not every Russia is the same. So right, so that's what I was alluding to before. That obviously every kid now is not a Russia. You need to know how to connect with them. So whether it's about, you know, talking to them about whatever matters to them, you know, that's a whole art. You know, how to connect with kids who appear to be disconnected. So you connect to them through what they're connected to, right? And then slowly but surely the Torah comes in. They all have a neshama. You plug into their stuff. If they love music, you care about their music. They love superheroes, you care about superheroes. You validate what they care about. That's that. I have so many stories like that. Lamasa, you care, but you care and you fake it until you make it. Meaning you really care about it. You care about what they care about. Okay, so that's that. The vort though, that again, and I'm trying to connect it to the parsha, is that again, the Kohen takes one step towards the Metzorah, and the Metzorah takes one step towards the Kohen, right? Meaning, it's supposed to be a process whereby we create the stage and the atmosphere for Tahara. We're trying to tell the Metzorah, we want you back, right? Meaning, it's not supposed to be unnatural. Like, we force you, so to speak, to become Tahara, but it should ideally be a two-way street where we're working together. Now, sometimes it's not a two-way street. Sometimes we have to force the Metzorah to become pure. But the idea is that we take one step towards the Metzorah, and we want the Metzorah to ideally take his step towards us in the Tahara process. So, all right, that was my spiel to connect Metzorah and the Mahalach of the Rav. But let's now go to the more, we'll say, conventional Mahalachim and the Arba Banim, and focus more on the Chacham, etc. So, the Shulchan Aruch does present the classical law that you have to, what? Teach the kid. If he's a chacham, if no matter what, you always have to, even Talmid Chachamim ask, okay. And when the Ukasha Ben or Isha Show Elas, you don't need to say Manishtana, Macholkis, if they repeat Manishtana or not, whatever. But ultimately, the Ramaj is passing that once the kid asks Manishtana, you don't need to repeat it. Once they ask the question, you don't need to then repeat the Manishtana. So that it's a halakha lamasa that you teach the kid based on their capabilities, right? It's in the Shulchan Aruch that. Meaning it's up to the person leading the Seder how much they promote the questions and how much to spoon feed. It's a halacha on the books. Good. All right, now here's a gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Kuf Ches Amar Beis to Kuf Tes Amar Alef. Hakol Chayavim Ba'arba Kosos, although everyone has to do the four cups, women, men, little kids. Ask Shem Yehuda, little kids are going to drink wine? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Rather, you know, you give them candy, nuts, it goes in on Erev Pesach so that they don't sleep. And that they ask questions. And in fact, what do Rabbi Akiva do? he would give klaus gazozin to the tinokas on Erev Pesach so the kids would not fall asleep and they'd continue to ask questions. Okay, very, very nice. So what did Rabbi Eliezer do? He would be chotev the matzah, you know, he'd move the table or whatever. He would do the shtick at the Seder to make sure that what? The kids were entertained and they wouldn't fall asleep. And what did Rabbi Akiva do on Erev Pesach? He even what? Uniquely? Canceled shir. Only 2 days a year that Rabbi Akiva said, get out of the Beis Medrash. Shigia Ace La'amo, the time has come to leave the Beis Medrash. What were the 2 days of the year? Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Pesach, go take a nap. We don't want you falling asleep tonight at the Seder. Erev Yom Kippur, go eat. Okay, beautiful. But if you look at the Rambam, he does not say that you give the kids candy on Erev Pesach so that they don't fall asleep. It's what all at the Seder itself, right? So when the Rambam presents the father teaching the kid, so again, as we already learned, if it's the kid is a you know tipesh or whatever, but the next very very next halacha, Chometz Masa Zayin Gimel, he says do all these shinuyim. You want the kid to ask Manishana Alayla Hazeh until you tell the story. So how do you do the shinuyim? How do you get his attention? You throw the candy at him. You move the table. You pretend the meal is over. You steal the matzah. All this stuff you have to do to get his attention. So the Rambam is saying it's not about the kid not falling asleep because you do shtick on Erev Pesach. I mean, the Seder should be very lively. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that at the Seder, you give out candy, whatever, you know, you do your thing so that the kid sees all the shinuyim and is engaged and wants to ask, like, what is going on? You know, every time one of my kids asks a question, we throw gummies at him. It's like, it's crazy. You know, my father-in-law, by Dr. Jay Goldman's, he's a guru in the field of education and parenting. He prints dollar bills with my kids' faces on them. And anytime a kid asks a question, they get a dollar. And whoever the most dollars, you know, it's a crazy. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. And so it's good. It's a good shtick. And it's supposed to be beautiful. And the Mishnah Berurah says, again, that he just notes that the Shulchan Aruch, Salat and the Gemara, that it's, we want them to be curious. But in the Gemara, it's that they don't fall asleep, whatever. Ultimately, is that we want them, says the Mishnah Berurah, to be excited, not to fall asleep, until after Avidim Ayinu, so that they hear the story. So Bidi Evet, Avidim Ayinu is really already a summary of the whole story, that we were slaves and it took us out. And there's a little rant hiding in the Mishnah Berurah over here, that he says the Ikar Mitzvah is to answer the kid. The kid asks the questions, and you have to answer the questions, right? With Avidim Ayinu, Bavur Hazeh, etc. He says, don't just keep the kid up for Manishtan, and then what? Put the kid to bed. That's exactly what you're not supposed to do. Why? Because if you put the kid to bed after Manishtan, and what? He asked the question, and you never told him the answer. That's ridiculous. Yeah. So if you said to a kid, you can step to Manishtana, that's not the mitzvah. Again, I understand why someone would do that. And you could say it's maybe appropriate for someone who's very little. But the whole idea is to answer the kid. It's all a means to an end. The shtick is a means to an end, not a means unto itself. The whole idea is to keep the kid awake and entertained so that you tell them the story. Obviously, I mean, ideally, go into great detail. Go into the Esser Malkus. Don't just read the Haggadah. Go into the detail. Picture books are great, etc. But I'm going to now tell an Aruch HaShulchan over. And this Aruch HaShulchan is absolutely wild. This Aruch HaShulchan is absolutely wild. Because at first glance, he doesn't mean to be so mechadesh, so novel. But I think it's tremendous chiddush. The whole idea of pulling shtick at the Seder and keeping them awake, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is that the Torah Dafka wants the kids to ask, Ki Yishalcha Bincha, right? The whole idea is that when your kid asks, you tell them the story, right? And how are you supposed to tell over the Seder, the story of the Seder? In response to the question of the Banim. The kid asks, the father responds. And here's the line. Da'al Yidei Zeh Nisbarere Ha'amuna HaTehora. Through that process of the kid asking and the parent answering, that is how you arrive at Emuna Tehora. What does that mean? What does that mean? When I give a shir, we don't arrive at Emuna Tehora. You only arrive at the purest levels of belief in God when it comes from a child, an innocent child. The way the kid asks in that pure, naive, childish way, and then the father asks him. That is what we're looking for. We're not looking for just an information session, a PowerPoint on a college dry level, a professor lecturing. Meaning the kid has what to offer also. And this is the point of the shir now. We have a lot to learn from the kids also. It's not just us telling the kids the story. It's the combination of the question-answer process. Because it's much more pure when a little kid asks from a place of curiosity, of innocent searching. That's a neshama. That's searching. And you give him an answer. You're giving you're nourishing a soul. So what am I pointing out over here? Is that we have a lot to learn from the kid. We have a lot to learn from the kid. What are we going to say in the Haftorah this week? Shabbos HaGadol, Malachi, Paragimel. Beheishiv leiv avos al banim, leiv banim al avosam. So how does Rashi explain this tshuva process to Hashem? The banim will help the parents do tshuva. Ooh. Go tell your parents to follow Hashem. And sometimes the parents have to tell the kids, go follow Hashem. So you know what? Sometimes you have a father trying to teach his son who's a Rasha, let's follow Hashem. And sometimes you have a chacham of a kid who's trying to tell his father who's a Rasha, let's go follow Hashem. And the ideal is for every parent and every kid on their own level to have a meeting of the minds and the bonding of the neshamos at the Seder so they learn from one another. But we should chas v'shalom never think that we have nothing to learn from an innocent five-year-old, from an innocent pure neshama. We have so much to learn from that naivety, from that curiosity. Peter Pan and Miriam. Who is the story of the naive child who taught their parents something? Miriam Hanaviyah. Amram divorces Yocheved. Because if they have a child, the child will be killed. And what does Miriam do? You're worse than Paro. You're worse than Paro. You're worse than Paro. Paro's killing the boys. And you're not having any children with my mother anymore. You're worse than Paro. You don't even have girls. They got remarried and Aaron and Miriam danced at the wedding, says the Midrash. Unreal. Amram and Yocheved knew that there's what to learn from an innocent child. Miriam is the savior of the hero. Hero of the story, Miriam gave a Musar speech to her father, the leader of Klal Yisrael. And he listened. Veheishiv leiv avos al banim. The banim and the banot teach the leiv of the father. Sometimes we're afraid to be the naive children. When James Barry, author of Peter Pan, he wrote the play, he was a little nervous. It was a big risk to present nobles a play about fairies and childish dreams. And he was nervous he would get laughed at. He took a big risk because there was a point in the play where Peter or Tinkerbell looks at the crowd and says, clap loudly if you believe in fairies. And you know what happened when she said that in real life? The whole crowd started going nuts. Because for the first time, maybe in their whole lives, the people who were these rich, I don't know, British people like the 1800s or whatever, they understood there's what to learn from a child. They understood that there's a place called Neverland. And that's where we go at the Seder. We go to Neverland because we have so much to learn from the innocence of a child. And if we came back from Pesach a little bit more naive, a little bit more susceptible to believing in miracles, a little bit less jaded, that would be awesome. Let's daven, Marv.